show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple and everything that's gone on. If you tuned in last night for the big show, I do apologise, but I wasn't there. We'll try and make up for it this evening. If there's some time, we'll try and get everyone together. But today we have got a fantastic panel to discuss the week in Mac. Starting us off, our old stalwart, the man in the cupboard, the man with more shoes than Imelda Marcos, Adam, how you doing, pal?
Good.
Cold, I hear.
Although the shoe thing is that's a bit of a lie because I only really have one pair of shoes. Anybody who knows me knows I always wear the same pair of shoes.
Really? That's it?
Yes.
That moccasin thing.
Boots. Summer, winter, doesn't matter.
Cool.
Brown leather boots.
How's life in the cupboard?
Good. Other than I had a cold this week, so.
Is the cupboard a permanent thing?
Is it what?
Is the cupboard a permanent thing? Is that the new studio?
I hope not. I have to, I'm trying to work out some sort of campaign, some sort of thing to fund a new studio build. So hopefully I will get a new studio built, but it's, for now, I'm calling it Studio 1.5.
Okay. Righto, mate.
This is Studio 1.5.
Jolly good. Next to him, John F. Braun. How you doing, sir, with brand new camera?
Yes. Fantastic, though it's still not optimized, sadly. Skype on the Mac is kind of lacking, but I did it for you because you're probably the first show I've been on where they said we'd like a video feed as well. So yeah, now I have the I think it's the 930E, which has a wider field of view and it's even sharper, but nice little camera.
So the quality of the picture is excellent, mate.
Yeah, this is a, you know, it's yeah, the problem with the other one was that it wasn't officially supported under OS 10, where this one is, but I think it also has better optics and all that great stuff. So yeah, when I need it, I'm pretty happy with it. Yeah, again, I think the C930E or something like
that. Excellent, mate.
Yeah, notch here.
Next to him, the man who always dresses appropriately, Chuck Joyner. How you doing, man?
I'm good. You, and how are you?
I'm excellent, mate. How's life over there in Pennsylvania?
It's good. It's good. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better.
I like the man who's just innately positive, full stop.
Absolutely. What's the benefit of being negative? There's a lot of negativity in the world. We don't need any more. Certainly not here.
Yep, good man. Thank you for wearing a tie once again, dressing appropriately. I do appreciate it.
In honor of you, Ewan. No question.
You didn't clean your room, though, Chuck. Look at that. Oh, man, what a...
That's a working man's desk, John.
That is, yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, there you go, look.
Well, I can pan around this place, too.
There's a little bit of crap down in the corner there, bottom right.
Chuck has a very CNN, like, newsroom feel going on, I think.
Yeah, I like that, Adam. Thank you. I never really thought of it that way, but that's
kind of it. With the tie and the, you know, the stuff going on in the background, yep.
The newsroom. Have you seen that? That's a great series. I love the newsroom. Yeah. Oh, you've got to watch The Newsroom. It's on, I think it's on, I think season one's on Netflix now. The Newsroom. Brilliant. It's got Jeff Daniels in it. Superb story. Very, very good. Well worth watching. And last but by no means least, it's the Greenster. How you doing, bud?
Oh, not too bad. Old chap, yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. So are you in a different room now? Have you been chucked out?
No, same one. So I've given the studio up and I'm busy converting the cellar into my new studio, but for the meantime, while it's been done, that men are in there, I put everything into the bedroom. So it's rather busy, but it's rather jolly. And so it's nice that I've got my old studio mic back. So am I sounding sexy and husky and all radio-ish, or do I sound just the same as normal, really?
No, you do. And I do notice that you've got a big frame up there that's obviously holding a microphone of description. Is this the old condenser mic?
Yeah, it's a Sontronics mic, and it's good. It's all good. I have to applaud the old shirt, don't I, in all honesty? I'm going to do that from now on. I'm going to get, have you seen that new gadget show that you can get suit pajamas? So when you're like in bed and you're doing sort of a hangout or some sort of a video conferencing thing, that your pajamas look exactly the same as a suit with a tie and a shirt and everything like that. And you can, you know, you can just kind of kick off your video conference from your bed. Have you seen that?
No.
Send the link.
But I like it.
So you just clip this around your neck and that's it. You look like you're sat at a desk.
No, whole pajamas are like that. So your pajama top is basically, it's got printed on a suit top, a collar and a tie. And so when you're in bed doing your video conference, it looks like you're, you know, you're all suited and booted.
Is it convincing or is it just shit, though? Is it convincing or is it just shit?
No, it looks really good, actually. Have you seen that? Right. What's the chap out of the IT crowd? And he was also in the Mighty Boosh. Very funny man.
Black guy. But go on.
Yeah. He's got a new thing on Channel 4. It's like a gadget show thing, and it was on there, Series 1.
Which is maybe, but that still doesn't give me a link to this thing that I've got to wear, dude. What are these things I've got to buy? What are they called?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was just on his program.
Oh, Jesus, Greeny.
What? Well, the pick comes at the end. It was only sort of tittle-tattle, a sly bit of banter between us.
You can't expect
me to come out with that sort of factual information sort of straight off the... off the cuff.
You're a tease, Greeny. You're an absolute bloody tease.
Do you want me to look it up for you?
Yes, please. Your mission by the end of the show is to find a link to the pajama teleconference suit.
Yeah, I will do that. Pajama is a Hindi word.
Adam's already done it. There we go.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, go on. What is it, Adam?
Suit jammers.
Legendary suit jammers. The legendary suit jammers are actually... Oh, Jesus.
They're good, aren't they?
Oh, they're very good. Oh, man alive. Oh, hang on. Let me just see if I can get the... I haven't got the screen set up for doing this, but I'll put it on because this is brilliant. They are incredible, Greeny. I scoff at you on a regular basis, but I've got to say, pal, you've outdone yourself here.
Yeah, not such an idiot anymore, am I?
No, you aren't. Dude, they look like a proper set of... Well, if you were wearing a silk suit like that, people would question. But
they are a bit silky, aren't they?
They are a bit silky. But having said that, on a webcam, you'd get away with that. You'd totally get away with that.
Mm-hmm. I think Robin Thicke pulls that off all the time, right?
Who?
Isn't that his name, Robin, that stupid pop artist, Robin Thicke?
I don't know.
Thicke, yeah, I think he means.
We don't know Robin Thicke. He's obviously a US phenomenon.
Oh. The guy who did the whole grinding with what's her face?
Don't.
Working.
Miley
Cyrus's dad. Yeah, no, Troisky in the chat room says blinding, which is good. That's a good thing. Definitely. And talking of good looks... Have you noticed we've got some new logos?
Yes, I noticed that. You've gone for the flat look, haven't you?
How do you like our new logos? I'm wearing the Pocket Show today. That's recorded on Monday night, if you want to look at it. 8 o'clock on Monday night with Paul Wheatley. But yeah, look, Pocket Show. And we got the Mac Show in the logo down here in the bottom left. Yeah, we got some. They're done by a lovely lady, at Christine Wild on Twitter, E on the end of Wild. She is an incredibly talented lady. We are extremely lucky to have her kicking around the network, I have to say. But she's done those for us, and that's been her donation to the network, which I'm a bit overawed by, I have to say, because they're absolutely stunning. If you've got any design work you need doing or any web work, Christine Wild is super talented. Super, super talented. Thank you, Christine, for those. And she's helping us with the design and layout of the website as well, so that'll change soon too. But I love these logos. I absolutely adore these logos. I think they're wonderful. The Week in Apple. What's going on? We've got to start off with the Alderson event, isn't there? 16th. Everyone thought it was the 21st, but lo and behold, no. Next Thursday.
Not everyone.
Well, everyone said 21st to start with, didn't they? And then I said 21st as well because everyone else said 21st. Although we have a piece of inside information, but the date wasn't it. So.
Well... Until Recode came out and said the 16th, and then we knew.
So what's coming then, fellas? Bit of speculation, bit of hypothesis.
Well, I think the Apple Watch.
No, they've already done. Were you here last month, mate?
Yep, the Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch is coming out. It's being released. I can guarantee it's not here till 2015. From what I heard, there's the large iPad is going to be released.
How exciting.
And that won't be out until 2015 as well.
No. So
they're going to show it, but that's it. You're saying no, definitely no, Adam.
No.
Why?
All right, here's my hope, or at least maybe they'll make a decision on this. Now, I have one of these. It's a 2010. And it's a For those that know me, now I actually have a 2008 MacBook, and that actually I'm going to be upgrading for the end of the year. But I have a 2010 Mac Mini. So I think they're going to bump the Mini, or they're going to kill it off. I don't know, because it's been quite a while.
I'm with John. It's either or, and I'm really hoping they rev it in a really big way.
They can't kill the Mac Mini.
No, I think they're gonna take it up a notch.
Yeah.
How about the fact that the title is, it's been a long time. That to me says that we're looking at maybe a Mac Mini, maybe even, I mean, this is pure speculation, but even something like a little mini tower, take the Mini and really pump it up a lot.
Really? Oh, that's really kind of cool. So going what sort of size of a coffee jar or?
Well, something, you know, that, let's face it, not everybody wants to buy an iMac every time and pay for the screen. You can buy a perfectly decent monitor. That's sort of been the purview of the Mac Mini. But why couldn't we have a Mac Mini Plus or a Mac Mini Super or something that would give us a lot more ports, a lot more power, maybe even a little more internal storage, and create a whole new segment?
Go on.
Or I was going to say, am I my own? Pro. I've seen some concept art of some minis from some people where it's basically a small pro, like a small...
Yeah. Let's say a coffee jar.
Smaller cylinder.
Okay.
Go ahead, Grinny. What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, am I my own? But when you get a Mac Mini, that's great. They're beautiful machines and they do the job. But coupling them with a non-Apple mouse and a non-Apple keyboard and a non-Apple screen, I mean... I just couldn't do it. I really just couldn't do it. I'd rather jump off a cliff than do that.
Yeah, but
I appreciate it's about money and stuff like that. But I mean, the whole aesthetic is totally ruined if you do that. I think it's awful. I think anybody who buys a non-Apple screen with an Apple computer should be shot here and now.
Let me throw this out, because I think another thing we could see and should see, even though everybody's talking about the iMac, the 5K iMac, I think we need a 5K Thunderbolt display. Yeah. That's way overdue too.
All right, but I got to step back here on what my esteemed colleague across the pond there said is that, dude, Apple keyboards and mice suck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they do. The keyboard's not so bad, but the mice are awful. I get real bad pains
in my
wrist.
I've never gotten mice right, and even the keyboards, I bought a third-party keyboard because I like a keyboard with nice sculpted keys, and Apple keyboards, they're either chiclet or they're just... I don't know why Apple can't do a good job of making a keyboard that a touch typist like myself is comfortable using. They just fail consistently.
Well, buy an old Apple keyboard then. If you know, there's plenty. Even the black one, the I can't remember they call it the Mac Pro keyboard or whatever, the black one. So that answer, at least it's Apple. At least it maintains that aesthetic. Imagine the nightmare if you put a Microsoft keyboard and a Microsoft mouse with an Apple display and an Apple Mac Mini.
Surely
that would break anybody's heart.
Greeny, hang on, let's just put that in context. I've got carpal tunnel syndrome, but at least it looks good.
Well, that's it. That's all you need to worry about.
Wait a minute. Defend the Magic Mouse. I like mine.
I can't agree.
Who's using mice still? I'm really curious. Unless you're using something for real serious precision Photoshop work,
Thank you.
I don't have a mouse here. I've got trackpads everywhere.
I hate the trackpad
because I got a trackball, or they call it the expert mouse, the Kensington. I've used those for ages. I love them because it reduces the carpal tunnel thing to the point earlier, reduces stress on your wrist, and it has four buttons and a ring. My favorite input device for decades. I've used. Whatever they had.
And John, I used to be a trackball guy, but once the touchpad came out, or the trackpad, excuse me, it's just, I never went back.
I can't stand the touchpad. I've got real pains in my wrist from using the touchpad. I would like a touchpad, I think, if it was recessed into the desk. So if right next to where my laptop is, there was a touchpad that was routed out so that it would fit inside the desk, then yeah, I'd go with that. I think that would be really cool. But I love mice. I mean, I use a Trust mouse here. And the reason I do it is because it's a huge mouse and it actually fits in the palm of my hand. A lot of carpal tunnel syndrome comes from the grip tensions that you have on the sides to hold the mouse. And that's where the Mighty Mouse crashes for me, because it, I end up holding onto it far too hard to get it to move the way I want. And I've got to say, the scrolling on this has gone wappy since the last update to Mavericks. I am so pissed off. Trying to roll in and out on Photoshop now is an absolute nightmare for me. I hate it. But I'm a mouse lover, I have to say.
Yep. I'm a mouse guy, too.
What mouse, Adam?
I use Apple's Magic Mouse.
Right?
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got tiny girly hands, though, haven't you, Adam?
It's fine. Actually, so been thinking about replacing mine. I was trying to decide if I would go with a trackpad or a... Because I bought the trackpad to replace it, and my wife fell in love with that and stole it and has had it ever since. She loves the trackpad, so I stuck with my old Magic Mouse. And this one has a power button or power switch issue, but other than that, it works great.
Can I show you a trackpad nightmare?
Go on, then. Oh, is this the smashed one?
Look at that.
Greeny had to prove that it was made of glass.
Well, it's cracked. So I mended it once, which cracked it, and then during the move from the studio, it smashed again. But I mean, surely I can't be on my own when half of the appeal about buying a Mac is the aesthetic of the thing. So they spend so much time and so much money, and so much of your money that goes into buying the main chunk of the hardware. A good portion of that is into the design and into the quality of the product and into the materials and stuff. And if you are going to, let's not mess around. I'm going to call it blasphemy. There's no lesser word that if you're going to sully the beauty of the Jonathan Ive design with some horrible Logitech nastiness, then really, I don't know, it's just over for you. And really, I don't think you can call yourself an Apple user anymore.
It's fanboy. You've turned Apple into a religion in one statement there, Greeny.
Well, of course
it doesn't suffer from that already. No, not at all.
Come on, Americans. Come on, come back with that.
Ruata in the chat room says, wrist issues with the trackpad, sorry. Windrider and Magic Mouse hates the use of the word in that context. Trackpad. Wrist less with trackpad, says... there we go. Love the trackpad, says Blue Screen. And Redneck agrees with Greeny. Holy crap. He's been called... that's in one show. He's been called an esteemed colleague from across the pond. Steam often gets used with Greeny, but not esteemed. And and Mr. Redneck in the chat room says that he agrees with him. Oh, he can't say that buying a Mac is half about aesthetics, mate.
Of course it is.
I would rather use
a 15, 20-year-old Mac than a brand new PC.
Oh, you got to step out of the Scully era, mate. You can't have the white goods area with Mac.
I suppose 15 years, I suppose, is still Steve Jobs, isn't it?
Don't do the boxes.
Boxes?
The white boxes. The Scully white goods era.
Anyway, listen. I want a bit of grief from the Americans over there. Come on.
Doesn't look like
you're not going to get it. Well, I mean, I know what you're saying. I'm not sure that I quite would go to the degree you do because I use...
Because you're not a zealot.
Here, I don't know if you... Let me see if I can show this. This is a Logitech keyboard.
Love it.
But that's the one with the solar cell.
Love it.
So that I never have any batteries. It's wireless. It works great. Now, for those who like a more sculpted keyboard, you're probably not going to be happy with it. But it's, you know, it's fine. And it does not look out of place. So I use it with a trackpad.
It's gorgeous.
And so I'm stepping over the line a little bit, but not much. And I don't think it really bothers me or should bother anybody that much.
Yep. I agree with that. I've got that keyboard. And the beauty of that as well, Greeny, is it runs three devices. So that one keyboard that I've got there that never needs any batteries, that looks gorgeous, runs... the MacBook Pro that does the screens, it runs the Mac Pro that does the broadcasting, and it runs my Mac Mini up there that does the home server, the movie server. And it runs all of them, and it never needs a battery. And I've got two of them. I haven't even used a second one yet. I bought two thinking it'd be great, and then I realized it did three machines.
Yeah. Ewan, have you, I know you're not a trackpad guy, but have you tried the Logitech trackpad that goes with this?
No.
That's... it doesn't, it's not quite responsive enough for like video work or photo work. It does fall down there, but for just general use, it's fine. And it too never needs a battery. So it's
really,
I mean, it's great because you can go through a lot of batteries, rechargeables or otherwise, real quick with these things.
So
But don't you miss that?
Battery thing.
You know, when you're when OS 10 says your battery's running low and keeps sending you every single day.
No.
I sort of find it rather comforting. You know that you need to go to the supermarket and buy some AA batteries to recharge your trackpad or whatever it is, your keyboard or your mouse. And it's almost like keeping you alive, isn't it? It's like a reminder that you still are on this planet and you still have an opinion and have a function in life. And that function is to buy a couple of AA batteries to feed your guzzling keyboard or guzzling mouse. And I feel sorry for you because you haven't got that experience
anymore.
Is that
part of the aesthetic
of Apple
for you?
With your cheap, tacky Logitech crap.
But Greeny, you must be in absolute heaven because that means you can go down to the Mac store, you can buy overpriced rechargeable batteries, which you then have to take out to recharge.
Oh, yes.
No. You got to use the, what do they call those things? I never know the name. Anyloop.
What's them?
Oh, I love those things. They're
the what?
They're basically the batteries that Apple overcharges you for, but they're
rechargeables that hold their charge for a very, very long time. They're very, very efficient rechargeables.
So if you buy Apple's little rechargeable battery system, right, that's overpriced with their rechargeable Apple branded batteries, those batteries are made by Sanyo. And Sanyo makes a battery called the Anyloop, which is the exact same battery. It just doesn't have an Apple logo on it. And they're much more affordable. And they can go right in your Apple branded charger if that makes you feel better.
Which it clearly would to Greeny.
Mm. Mm.
And the Anyloop batteries are actually white. So they look nice too.
Matt. Oh, don't get him started again, Adam.
Yeah, the last thing that Greeny needs is bloody encouragement.
All right.
Well, anyway, please, everybody appreciates and agrees with my point of view, and you will be trashing your rubbishy old Logitech stuff and going out to the Apple Store and buying proper.
Right. Can we get back to the subject in hand and talk about the fact that the Mac Mini, you can't kill the Mac Mini because it's the drug sale into Apple, most definitely. Although, having said that, I suppose most people are buying an iPad or an 11-inch Air now anyway. But I mean, there's a history in that as well. It was my first Apple computer.
Which one was?
The Mac Mini, the very first Mac Mini, the G3.
Oh, G3. Yeah. I still haven't. This is the thing about the Mac Mini. I still have a, which one is mine? Mine is the 1.66 Core Duo, not the Core 2 Duo.
Yeah.
The Core Duo, and it's still in service as a headless server on my network, and I never have to touch that machine. It was turned on. It's never turned off. It never crashes. It never has an issue. It just runs and runs and runs. And when I talk to people who have Mac Minis, they say exactly the same thing. Mm. And I cannot say that about my MacBook Pros. You know, those get replaced like, you know, I don't know, like chewing gum. You know, it's like Apple's had to replace my MacBook 3 times, I think, because of graphics issues, you know, GPU issues. And you know, the Mini trudges on. The Mini is the closest thing to like a Mac Plus that I can think of that's, you know, a modern Mac.
The logic board seems to be the weak point in the new MacBook Pros, doesn't it? It's always logic
board. Or iMac, you know, and capacitors and iMacs, my 20-inch iMac, blue capacitors, you know, but that Mini just is a workhorse, you know? So I love those. I love the Mini. I love the price. I love the robustness of that machine. I don't know if it's because it has, you know, lower to mid-range components as opposed to the, you know, high-end stuff that's unproven. You know, that's probably got part to do with it, you know, that they use tried and true proven components. But those things are great. And it deserves some love and it deserves an upgrade. So I hope it happens. I hope they don't kill it off.
No, I really hope that. I mean, as far as I would say, you can't kill it off. You cannot get rid of the Mac Mini. It's just too much of an institution in itself now.
To be fair, it's the only server product they sell as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point, Greenie. Jesus, no, that's the third thing.
Yes.
Good point, oh, yes. Greenie. Esteemed
back
colleague.
Of the net.
Holy shit. anything else we're getting then? So new Mac Mini, little tarry Mac Mini about the size of a can of beans. That'd be fantastic. Anything else?
iMac.
What's been a long time? You reckon brand new? There's not going to be a new design on the iMac, though. There's just going to be a speed.
No, no.
They wouldn't, they're not going to be a keynote for a speed.
That 5K iMac, I think, is happening.
You really think?
Yeah.
What are we all talking about? What is this thing? That's a new event coming up, is it?
This one next Thursday, mate. 16th.
Ah.
Ah. Now you're up to speed on the Mac news.
And so what have they said? What's the rumours about that, then?
Well, Chuck said, if you remember, the title is It's Been a While.
What's been a while?
Well, that's the point. It's one of those cryptic Apple things, isn't it? It's been way too long, sorry. So they're talking about upgrades, you would have thought, in that. And Chuck has cleverly thought that clearly the Mac Mini needs an upgrade because it's been way too long. And it has. It's been like 2 years since the last half-decent change to it. And I'm trying to think what else in the product line needs a significant bump. And I can't think of anything else.
I got one.
Bump. But would a new Mac Mini be a whole new keynote? I don't know. Go on, you got one. So go on then, John.
HyperCard updated with Swift.
That's what I'm talking about.
HyperCard was
You know how many
awesome.
People would be thrilled
I,
about
I,
that,
I
though?
Developed apps in no HyperCard joke. You know, decades ago to do IT and data cleansing. I mean, it was an awesome development environment for its time. And then, you know, it kind of fell off the cart there. But no, seriously,
I have
wouldn't
a copy
that be
of,
awesome?
I have a copy of HyperCard still in the plastic.
There's another Mac Mini rumor actually that I think is also very likely to come true and would be awesome, which is some people are saying they may bring Mac Mini production just like the Mac Pro to the U.S. And I think if they do rev the Mac Mini, they might very well do that as well.
Mm, I think that's true, but I think the thing with the coming to the U.S. thing. The coming to America thing of Apple is the fact that they get tax breaks on that. So there's foreign money which needs huge tax payments to get it back. And providing they provide US jobs, they get that money back in at a reduced rate. So good on them. I think that's exactly what they should be doing is boosting the US economy, giving people jobs.
Well, it's also better from I've worked in a manufacturing environment. And one, you get what you pay for. But number two, whenever you send something overseas, you have time differences, you have cultural differences, and a lot of times quality issues. I've seen, you know, manufacturing stuff that came, you know, so pieces that were worked in another country with lower standards, and someone would have to fix them because they weren't done to the same quality that you get in this country. Plus, the people are right there. There's a huge benefit to it, not just taxes, but I think delivering a quality product. And glad him and Apple are, you know, supporting that. And, you know, same with, you know, a lot of vehicles here are now, even though they're foreign vehicles, a lot of them, most of them are done here in factories, even, you know, Toyota and a lot of other companies have, you know, a lot of the manufacturing and assembly done here. So
what's it like for you guys in the States? Because I know there's a lot of hangover, and I think it's very unjust and very unfair. But there's a lot of hangover from the 70s, 80s, and 90s of UK manufacturing, where if you said, actually, and now this fantastic product, which has worked brilliantly for a long period of time, is going to be made in the UK, everyone would go, holy shit, because they would worry about the production build and quality of that. Is that still fair to say that the US, is there a bit of a, I'm not sure this is totally a good move? And especially when you look at the befuddlement with the Mac Pro getting that out, on delivery and stuff like that.
I don't think so. I think you've got Apple standards, and I think we all have a lot of faith in Apple standards. Certainly Will does. Yeah. And so, you know, there may theoretically be some delays. I don't know if that was the case with the Mac Pro as to why it was, you know, not quite as crisp on getting things out as it could have been, but I don't think there's a problem there anymore.
Mm.
And definitely not with Apple at the helm.
Don't you guys
I always feel, though, don't you feel, it's slightly pathetic
the UK?
When they say assembled in the UK or assembled in the US, really, all of the component parts are made in China or India or somewhere like that.
No, they're not.
And, you know, the best part we can get is it's just assembled. I'm not pointing at the US because it's exactly the same with the UK, and it's a rather pathetic stance that, you know, the best we can do is just assemble it in this country or your country. But I suppose that's just the way it is these days. I mean, what can you do? The manufacturing standards in China is superb. But I suppose, being cynical, it's all about the cost, isn't it? That the people who are manufacturing this stuff are being, in the most part, exploited. And I don't want to say slavery, but it's not a good situation, is it, that we're going through at the moment, manufacturing is concerned?
And it's not all the component parts either. I mean, there are several component parts that are manufactured in other places, including the U.S. for, say, like the iPhone. And it's not all just the labor either, you know, and unfortunately, some of it probably is also environmental restrictions, which isn't any better, but that is another reason as well that certain kinds of manufacturing can't happen here, at least in the US, and probably the same thing in the UK.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sad, isn't it?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a point in the chat room here from Blue Screen saying there's still a hangover and stigma from the old 80s, 90s UK car industry. And that's where it all kind of comes from, is that, you know, when you made your own cars, and America's just as bad. If you look at a lot of the cars that you made in the 70s and 80s, they were horrific pieces of plastic. I mean, they hadn't worked out how to join plastic together at that point, how to make it work properly. And, you know, I remember having a Mini when I was a student, and I took it back to the garage. I bought it new, and I took it back to the garage, and I said, how'd you build a car for 30 years and the doors still don't close properly? You know, and that's the way the car industry was over here. And I think there is a hangover in that in UK manufacturing, and it's very unfair, I've got to say, as well. And you talk about car manufacturing. A lot of the parts for car plants are made in the UK. I used to do a lot of work for a firm over in Coventry that made window regulators for cars. They're the biggest firm you've never heard of. 40% of the world's cars were made by them. Windows were made by them. So, it's
you guys, the Raspberry Pi is made over there, right?
Yeah,
those things are awesome.
Yeah, they are. I still haven't bought one, but yeah, they are.
I think the UK and America and many other countries are, I think things are changing, aren't they? That we are no longer manufacturing hubs. We are design and creation hubs, and we just ship out to other factories in other parts of the world for tax reasons, as Adam rightly points out, for maybe sort of circumnavigating certain environmental laws, which is rather disgraceful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean,
good.
You know, when you're trying to make a profit, those things come into play. You know, that's unfortunately the way it is.
Yeah, except capitalism is going to destroy the planet eventually. That's just, you know, where is it going to happen?
Right? I don't know if it's going to destroy the planet, John, but it definitely shifts things around from the way they used to be. You know, and I think that's an interesting way to look at it, that there's some places that are manufacturing hubs, there are some places that are design hubs. I don't know that that's a bad thing unless you're really into nationalism. It may just be the most efficient way for the entire planet to design things and create things.
Yeah.
Have you watched Ancient Aliens?
Funny enough, no, Will.
Oh.
Do tell us more.
No, that was it, really.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, all I was going to say, all of this has been done before. I was watching Ancient Aliens at about 4 o'clock this morning, and they invented the nuclear bomb something like about 3000 BC. It's all been done before.
Come on, Will. Steady on.
No,
we're
it's
with
true.
You on the Apple thing, even just a little
and
bit. But
if Hitler, right? Hitler, he was in touch with the aliens, and Hitler and the aliens, and that's what gave him the scientific wherewithal, an insider doodah, technology to create his rockets and the blooming bell and all that sort of stuff. I watched it. I'll tell you what, Sky TV, 5 o'clock in the morning, Ancient Aliens, you want to watch it. And I reckon Johnny Ive will be on Ancient Aliens soon.
Sky TV.
There'll be a picture of Johnny Ive.
Sky TV at 5 a.m. is where they put all the real quality programs, isn't it?
It is the real quality stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
There's a picture of Johnny Ive in one of the pyramids, and he was here. I'm talking
Greeny, you are not going to evade the British Mental Health Trusts for much longer. I tell you, they're going to catch up to you.
That was just a joke, chaps, in America. I don't really believe that, you know.
You had them there, mate. You had them
Well, they were silent, weren't they?
You had them alone. Quiet.
You have NHS over there, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Good for you. Okay.
Are you going to give him a call? I got this guy. Green.
Maybe give him a call.
He lives behind the only listed door in Ironbridge.
In all seriousness, you check out Ancient Aliens. There's a lot of interesting stuff about that. The crystal forts in Scotland. I was watching that. And anyway, doesn't really matter.
Is Will tapped?
Should I get my code?
Brazil has an apple plant. Is that that's called a tree, isn't it? No.
That's a whole other thing, because that's a weird restriction on that market. If you talk to somebody who's from Brazil, they have to have manufacturing in there to get past some tax things. And for years, I believe, like buying Apple products in Brazil, I mean, you think it was bad for other countries. You know, they were paying like just astronomical prices. I mean, they were literally unaffordable, and that's because there was a huge tax penalty if you didn't have some sort of manufacturing in the country. As far as this is what I understand, I could be talking out my butt, but that's what I've been told and sort of believed. And I think that was half the reason Apple decided to put a manufacturing facility there, is that's a pretty big market for their products.
It is, yeah.
And they wanted to bring costs down in the country.
I don't know. In all seriousness, right? Imagine you had no money in the world and I gave you an option. Okay? You've got two options. You can choose either. You have no Apple products at all in your house. Okay? Or you go on the game for a little bit and you get an iMac. Which one are you going to choose?
Go on the what?
On the game, you know. Become a prostitute just for a night, maybe, or two, possibly.
Going on the game. That's
your choice. So you have no Apple products in your house, or you, Adam, of the MacCast, goes on the game just for a night, and you get an iMac in exchange. And it's a really nice man as well.
I'd get myself a nice PC.
I was going to say the same thing, Adam. I'd compromise and get a PC. Windows is that horrible.
Greeny, what the hell are you on? I've got to say, I mean, you've come out with some pearlers over the years, but I'm questioning, where's Will Green and what have you done with him at the moment?
No, just wondered. It's only hypothetical. I obviously wouldn't imagine that Adam would go on the game for a night, but it's just a hypothetical question. Okay, let's have another thing. So you've got your car, which you love. Would you sell your car and have a PC? Oh, no, have a Mac, or would you not sell your car and buy a PC? What would you go for?
Not sell my car and buy a PC, quite happily, because there's nothing wrong with Windows, mate.
Yep.
You're so far out of touch with that statement, Greeny.
It's only a question. It's not a statement.
It is. It's a statement. I've programmed Windows for 6 years.
So
I've run Windows 7 on a computer here for programming the boards for me helicopters. I've got a version of Windows 8, which I don't actually hate Windows 8. I think it's all right. And I'd be quite happy having Windows 10 and using it. And I would be quite happy going over to Windows if it wasn't for the fact I'm so entrenched in software in with Mac anyway.
So. But it's a value statement, I suppose. I suppose the point I'm trying to make, it's a value statement, really. You know, are you totally bought into the Apple experience and the aesthetics? Even if you buy a 20-year-old Mac, or you had the choice to buy a brand new PC, which one would you choose? It's all about that, really. It's a value statement. It's the aesthetics part. It's the whole sort of
emotional
commitment.
There's the Paul Wheatley came out with this a few weeks ago on the Pocket Show, and he said on Monday night 8 o'clock, and he said that when you used to go to an airport and you pulled out your Mac and you opened it up, you'd look across and there'd be one other guy there with a Mac, and you'd kind of look at each other and there'd be a little nod like, yeah, we're Mac and stuff, the rest of them. But that doesn't apply anymore. Because I go into every airport lounge I've been in or every public space where I've pulled out my Mac and started working, there's 20 other, there's 40 others. It's not an experience thing anymore where you're one of the cool kids. Everyone uses them. So there is no value statement in that to take it away. Yeah, okay. There's a lot of Windows computers. The Sony Vaios look killer for years. I don't know what they look like at the moment, but certainly when they're in their steel and aluminium period, they look gorgeous. I would have quite happily pulled one out. I think the old Mac versus PC thing is a long gone argument now. It's a long gone argument.
I'm kind of with you, but I'm also a little bit in Will's camp. I guess for me, it's not about the aesthetics, and sure, I'm an Apple guy, but it's about the best tool for the job. And so, for me, the Apple tools are a lot more stable. They allow me to get more done. That's the way I value it. But like you said, I'm invested in the Apple architecture, so it would be hard for me to think about making a change. That's not to say that if the Apple Watch comes out and it doesn't suit me, that I'm not going to go to an Apple Watch. If the iPhone, if somebody could convince me that there was a better phone for what I do and the things I need it for, I would have no problem going that direction. It's just that Apple does seem to ring the bell more times than just about anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I had a discussion with Paul Kirkle on Twitter this week about saying that they're an extraordinary company. I'm like, they're a company that's very good. They've had some seminal moments, there's no question, but let's be careful about extraordinary company, because when it comes down to it, companies are about futures. Companies aren't about presents. And you don't look at Apple with any... I don't look at them as being like, I know they're going to be sparkly next year. I know they're going to perform amazingly next year. And it's about financial return as well, not necessarily products out the door. They're a good company, don't get me wrong. They've done fantastic work in revolutionising a couple of markets. But everyone else has caught up now, and there's other people doing far better than them in some areas. And some of the stuff they push out makes you go, do you know what, really? Tim, you've got the cutting-edge operating system, but when you do a point update, you screw up my scrolling on my mouse, and that's every mouse I've got on every Mac machine I've got doesn't scroll properly anymore. That's not a quality firm. Never had that with Windows. That's where I think it just, I love Apple. I wrote a thing about, I'm not an Apple hater. I'm an Apple realist, and I've got Mac computers coming out my ears. But, I won't stand by and people go, oh, aren't they gorgeous? When actually they make a lot of screw-ups, a lot of bad screw-ups that aren't good.
since you brought up the topic, can we talk about the giant screw-up that is iOS 8? What a piece of junk.
I feel the hate mail coming on for you, Adam.
No, I mean, I have never had, what do they call them? I don't know if you call them springboard crashes or, the white Apple logo crashes, where it goes to an Apple logo and then you're back on the lock screen. I have never had so many iOS.
I haven't had one of those at all on my 6.
Okay. Let's talk about Bluetooth stereo connectivity not working. Let's talk about people losing their cellular data connections. Let's talk about, let's see, what else do I have going on with mine? Oh, just weird display issues when you're doing rotation. I tweeted out something today, the other day. I was doing iTunes Radio, and everything went so that I only had the upper sort of, it was the lower corner of my artwork and UI, but it was stuck in the upper right-hand corner. There's stuff where the UI controls get stuck in landscape mode, even though you're back in portrait. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
What's weird,
the weirdest thing to me is I was in the beta program and I used iOS 8 until they did the release version and I had no issues. And then they released it and then it was like, what the? So I would have given them all this feedback and maybe they could have stopped it before when I don't know what they did in those final weeks. But
well,
what an utter piece of junk that they shipped.
Troisky in the chat room says no crashes here. Manti says no issues. iOS 8's fine for me on 4 devices. I've got it on 3 devices. I haven't had a single problem with it, I have to say.
I have emails that I could show you. I'm getting dozens a day from my audience with all kinds of messed up bugs. And it does seem to, this is the odd thing. It does seem to be very isolated to specific people. Like I've never had the cellular connectivity issue, but I know, people that got hit by with that, even with iOS 8.0.2. So maybe that, I mean, maybe to Apple's credit, maybe they're so isolated and strange that it's, you know, something that they didn't see coming. But I don't know. It feels like this last month, Apple has screwed up a lot. And iOS 8 is just, in my opinion, one example of that.
Go on. Sorry. John, you were saying as well?
Well, I haven't had the same experience, I would say, between, you know, our listenership, Adam. I don't think we've gotten as many reports of iOS 8. I only had one, but like I was saying, I mean, the only one that I had was, I think it was, so it was 8.0.1 because that didn't affect the 5S. So I had that, or it may have been 8.0, but it was one app, and I'm not sure if it was the app or the OS, but it was one app, IMDb. And I was typing in the name of a movie. So if I go to the library to borrow something, I'll look up the movie and see what the rating is. And the keyboard got stuck. The little flag got stuck. And the app was just wedged. I don't know if it was the OS or if the app was upgraded properly. Yeah. Because I noticed a lot of people took their time upgrading for iOS 8. In that, you know, a lot of them were coming out after iOS 8 was released. Which, you know, this is why we have beta version. You know, things happen. So I'm just saying my experience has been different. I'm on a 5S. So I have two devices, a 5S and a iPad Air. And I have had very good problems.
It's interesting you mentioned that because one theory, and again, when I was doing beta testing, it was on the 5S. Now where I've been seeing most of my issues is on the 6 Plus. And I have a theory that it may be new hardware plus software related on a lot of these things, especially some of the UI things that I'm seeing where the UI goes wonky. And the other thing is I've had also where just the UI becomes completely unresponsive, like no taps work and you have to quit the app and sort of restart it. So again, it could be hardware related. I noticed some people, in the chat room mentioning that they're having crashes on specifically a 6 Plus. So
did you do the 0.01 update?
Me? No. I totally skipped that one. I avoided that landmine, but you know, again, and then people, you know, I don't like this thing where people say, well, it'll get fixed in 8.1. Well, it's just very un-Apple-like to me, you know, the kinds of mistakes. And yes, they're not huge mistakes. These aren't, you know, these aren't things that make me go, I'm never going to buy an Apple product again. But it is an interesting thing that's happened over this past month. And the other thing I think that, sort of amplifies it that I think Apple is dealing with is when they dump everything at once, all the new hardware, all the new software and everything. And this is a new trend for them too. Yeah. These things are going to get compounded because people are going to discover them all at the same time. So when the media covers it and you start hearing about it, you know, it's not spread out throughout the year anymore. It's suddenly, you know, this broke and that broke and this broke and that broke. And it's all happening at once. Whereas I think in the past we had these little issues and it was, you know, sort of one or two at a time instead of six different things or eight different things or whatever. And it looks bad. I think it looks bad.
But there's so many more iPhones out there, Adam. You know, that's the other
thing.
Again,
I don't want to apologize for Apple, though. I'm just saying, my opinion is in the past, Apple seemed to or gave the impression for whatever reason of, you know, sort of being on top of these things. And to me this month, it feels like they're not on top of stuff, that they're screwing up a lot.
I think that's a fair statement. I mean, you look at the utter collapse of the live thing, and then you look at the fact that 8.0.1 was just a horrific day for them. I know it's only 40,000 phones affected and they put a cap on it very quickly and dealt with it, but to push that out when it wasn't ready. And I mean, there's a certain point of Yosemite's going to be available probably next week after the event. Are people going to be looking at and going, do you know what? Might skip this for a little bit.
iCloud Drive, let's talk about that. I mean, what were they thinking pushing out an iOS update that says, hey, do you want to upgrade to iCloud Drive? And then, you know, people not knowing or understanding, all their documents in the cloud documents are going to be gone on their Macs.
Troisky says in the chat room, the hardware is premium, but the software apps not quite so premium, perhaps. Quick shout out to David McKay, who sat in the wrong chat room. David, thank you for watching live, mate. I hope you're enjoying it. But you need to go to an IRC chat room called isc.geekshed.net, hashtag British Tech Network. And that one will get you into sit and chat to the rest of us rather than sitting on your own at the moment in the live stream chat room. Though apparently as well, the live stream chat room does pretty well. They have a better conversation without us. Who knew? What are you doing on the 6th of December? Because there's going to be a bash. Yes, the Northern Bash is taking place. We're going up to the Highlands of, or the Lowlands of Scotland, Tweed Bank Hall, and it's the Gamer Show. What we've got there is Chiz, Sam and Paul will be down with a whole pile of games and TVs and that kind of stuff. The Gamer Show quiz will be recorded there. It's a bring your own booze party. It's only a fiver a ticket just to cover the cost of the hall. Bring any booze that you want to drink. There are some local hotels listed as well. There's an information page that's on the banner on the homepage at britishtechnetwork.com. And it goes from 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. We'll play a load of games. We'll have a load of fun. We'll drink a load of beer. There's going to be a call out for a curry, which will get delivered, and we'll just split the cost between us all. And then we'll stumble back to our beds and sleep it off till the following morning when we'll have to drive home. So that's Saturday the 6th of December from 3 p.m. at Tweed Bank Hall in the Scottish Borders. I'm staying over. I'm definitely going. And I think there's a few of us might be driving up for that. Greeny, you're talking about coming for that as well, aren't you?
Yes, I think I probably will. Yeah, I love Scotland. And I tell you what, I think this is probably the first podcast we've done, that I've been on at least, since Scotland decided to stay with the Union. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Excellent, excellent, yes. I've booked my hotel there already. I've got a little guest house around the corner. It's only 2 miles away, so I'm sure I can stagger that far drunk. But book your ticket now. Go to britishtechnetwork.com. And on the homepage, you'll see a banner and you can either get more information or you can buy a ticket. If you click on buy a ticket, you can go through and you can buy your ticket. And another thing you can also do is you can already buy your ticket for next year's bash. So, yeah, on the 4th of July, we'll be having a bash here in Birmingham like we normally do. You can already buy your ticket for that. There we go. Won't that be superb? And you do, you can serve a curry as well.
Next July.
It's July. It's the 4th of July. It's already booked. I've got the hall booked. The deposit is paid. So if you want to buy your ticket, you can buy it straight away. So none of this booking late stuff like we did this year or this, I don't know what the date is. That's the date, 4th of July for the Big Bash. So 6th of December for the Northern Bash, which will be a pile of fun. And 4th of July for the main bash or the Southern Bash.
4th of July rings a bell.
Yes, something happened. I think it's something to do with tea.
Yeah.
Cup of tea. Let's do with a cup of tea. Joiner's not smiling. I'm in trouble now. right. So next week, we've got Yosemite coming out. Day one, who's installing it? I'm going to say no.
I can't. I never can because I will install it on my secondary machine. I will not install it day one on my production machine.
No.
And I usually install it day one on a clone. But not on the production device.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense because this, not just because of the system software itself, but also because of all the other software that you use that may need an upgrade and they may not have gotten around to it yet.
Though I mean, I'm the same because actually I don't want to put it on this machine because of the fact it's got to run Wirecast to do the shows. So actually, I mean, most of what I use for work, Photoshop, I can't see being behind the curve, and Final Cut, which is my other main software, I can't see that being an issue either. I would hope that I would work instantly with it, but it's just Wirecast, and if Wirecast didn't work, then that's a pain in the ass for me having to roll back and reinstall completely. But that's the only thing that's stopping me. But having said that, I mean, if you look since they went from I'm guessing Mountain Lion seems to be very similar in terms of its the back end stuff, doesn't it? So there doesn't seem like there's an awful lot of issues with drivers and that kind of stuff from Mountain Lion through. Is that fair? No.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, I've been running the beta on another machine, and it's just worked with most stuff. So I've had very little issues running it on that machine. So that bodes well for the operating system in terms of people upgrading and things like that. But I totally agree with Chuck. You never know what variables are going to be out there in terms of the third-party apps and things that you use. I never recommend people upgrade day one on a production machine, something that they rely on. If it's just your sort of you know, web surfing email machine and you're not doing real critical work on it, then, you know, you kind of make a choice there. But, you know, anybody who day one just, you know, immediately upgrades on their production system, they need to know that they are probably going to have some issue somewhere that may affect their ability to do work.
Greeny,
in my opinion, it's not a good thing.
Are you going to Yosemite on day one? Because I know you're a lover of Mavericks.
Yes, I probably will. Here's the thing. I use Airmail to look after my email, but I've given up on that as well. And all my email and all of my, well, I would say 60 or 70% of my productivity is done in the cloud, which in my case is Google. And 30% are probably what my workaday stuff, which tends to be Photoshop, web design, and Final Cut, and Logic, is done locally on my machine. I don't trust email anymore, and in some ways, I don't trust keeping data or thick data or thick clients or whatever anymore. So moving to a new operating system doesn't actually give me that much of a challenge anymore, because everything that I do, my calendar, my data, most of my productivity is all done in the cloud and away from my computer. So really, new operating system updates aren't such an issue anymore. Do you feel that? I mean, are you feeling this sort of, maybe I'm slightly ahead of the curve because I work in the cloud, but I really don't care for local data anymore.
I don't know. Well, I've tried to use the cloud with the Apple services, and of course they've been balked till Yosemite comes out. I tried to share it.
Yeah.
We've got a guy named Nick Latty, who's a lovely guy, who's trying to help me out with the photo show and get production stuff going on that. And we've had a right old game trying to get pages to sync over a document. It's been awful.
I have a question, because I know I kind of bashed the staggered release of iCloud Drive, but I think iCloud Drive could be a game changer for Apple in terms of cloud. Is anybody actually switched over and using Yosemite and iOS 8 and iCloud Drive? And I mean, I'm looking forward to that experience. I'm hoping it works finally as well as Apple is advertising, and they don't bork it up, because it may be their last chance to kind of get it right, in my opinion.
You're a fool, Adam. You're an absolute fool. When it comes to Apple and cloud, they are shit. They are totally and
utterly
rubbish.
Have you tried
it,
though? I mean, to be fair, are you working, or have you tried the iCloud Drive yet?
Yep. Remember, I worked for Apple for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Their cloud offering is terrible. Their productivity suite is terrible.
I don't use it. I'm not
going to
disagree with you.
Hmm?
I said I'm not...
Just God, for the sake of those on audio, these two are trying to work out when to speak.
Yes.
Someone pick up the baton, for Christ's sake.
I will.
It's Adam.
I was just going to ask. I'm not going to disagree with you, is what I was going to say, because yes, they've screwed it up every time, and I'm hoping this is their sort of final time to get it right.
Good luck with that. You'll understand my cynicism then, Adam.
But everybody agrees with that. Everybody knows Apple, when it comes to cloud offerings, are terrible. And I'm not entirely sure why they're so bad. I mean, I think they've had sort of four bites of the cherry now, haven't they? They're on to the last one with iCloud. And it's just, I mean...
You got to get them syncing. They get syncing right. I'm not going to say they can't do syncing, which is a really hard thing to do.
Well, Google seemed to manage it okay.
They do a good job as well.
As what? Google are the best in the entire universe at this. I mean, to fair play to Microsoft. I'm not going to say anything against those. Microsoft 365, it's a great product and it works really well. But Google really is the market leader, and Apple are just sort of floundering around. Why don't Apple... So Apple are the best consumer software and hardware manufacturer in the world, for me, when it comes to IT. However, when it comes to cloud-based offerings, Google are the best in the world. Why is this ridiculous continual argument, or why don't just Apple say, well, look, Google, you're ace at this, and Google say, well, you're ace at that, and they get together. You know, the whole thing about the Air.
We should all just
and talk. Sorry, I was going to say, the whole thing about the Air and the Google, what's their touchscreen one? Anyway, the expensive one. That was totally designed around the Apple Air. So Google love Apple and Apple love Google, and it's such a shame they don't get together and deliver the best experience of both worlds.
When you say Google Air, are you talking about like the Chromebook?
The Chromebook and the Chromebook. Yeah. So that was totally designed around the MacBook Air, because all of the Google employees were using that rather than Google's own products. Has anybody left in here? Have I pissed that everybody off now?
No, I don't agree, but I want to hear from someone. My question was really to hear from someone who's actually been using iCloud Drive, the full system, and getting like an honest opinion from someone who's been using it. That's all. I'm reserving judgment till I get to play with that. And believe me, I'm cynical. I think Apple very well might screw it up royally, but I'm not going to say it until I've actually used it.
Well, there's three other people.
Go ahead, Chuck.
To Adam's point, they do get syncing right, and they seem to be getting the photo sharing right now. There were a couple. It can get a little sophisticated with, you know, who you want to see what, where, when, how. But there does seem to be some light at the end of the tunnel that they have been able to get some things right. So I'm not going to defend Apple's previous cloud offerings. I'm hoping that this one will be the better one, because they seem, given this, they seem to be learning. As they've screwed it up, they've learned. And so hopefully this time they've learned enough to bring it to where we all want it.
It's not the falling down, it's the staying down that's the problem.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
I think this is a good point. I think Apple perhaps are trying hard. I do agree with Will, though. They haven't got a significantly good track record of showing improvement based on their mistakes as well as. But I think photos is the best example. And the question comes back repeatedly, would you trust Apple with your photos? And Apple have got a very poor record of looking after people's photos. There's a great post by a photographer, Ian Lewis, who's put on our blog about how to get your photos and how to save them and make sure that Apple doesn't have control of them, you have control over them, on our blog. And it's a post made out of the fact that Apple don't do well at services that they provide and then stopping those services when they've kind of had enough with it, almost like a little bit of OCD-ness with them, if you like.
I was just going to say, they've got to stop changing the engine out of the car. That's the problem, is that their solution to date for all these issues they've been having is to keep swapping out the engine rather than taking the engine they have and tuning it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the photo stuff. I remember Steve Naber several years ago was sat with all of these photos when they just said, look, we'll give you as much photo storage as you want. And then he sat with all these photos and they started to shut it down and that's it. And it's like, whoa, where do I get these? How do I get them down? And a lot of the time it was just like, actually, dude, I'm afraid they're gone. That's it. You hadn't.
Sorry, I think, was that John was saying something? Somebody was trying to jump in there.
It was me, I think. But John, did you have something to say? I cut you off. Sorry, mate.
No, I mean, to the question, you know, if I'm going to install Yosemite, I think I will on one of my machines. I'm going to do a full backup first and then I'm going to install it. See what happens. The machine that I'm on now, which I will refer to as my production machine, which is the Mini, and I podcast on, I still have Mountain Lion on this thing. So
Mountain Lion is very stable.
Yeah,
did enjoy that.
Yeah, because we had some audio issues, both Dave and I, with the podcast, with audio issues with Mavericks, and I think they finally ironed them out. But yeah, I decided to keep this, you know, one version behind because of stability. My other machine, you know, I'll do my email and things on that. I don't know if I necessarily consider it a production machine. And like Greeny said there, I sync a lot of my documents, whether they be email or things like that, with various services, whether they be Dropbox or Bitcast or stuff like that. So I'm not too worried that if I install Yosemite on this machine, that it's going to destroy anything. And again, you know, I'm going to make a full backup of the entire drive on that before I do the OS upgrade. As anyone really should.
Yeah, absolutely.
And carbon copy cloners favorite, which actually they just upgraded. Minor annoyance, you know, it's a paid upgrade now, but they added the kind of streamlined the interface, and I think they added some features, and it's Yosemite ready. So that's cool. What I'm going to do.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. If you're somewhere that's got you know, a massive system, so you've got a WAN or you're into SIPs or MPLS and all that kind of stuff, then get in touch with the Network Union because they can help you out to optimize it and really tune it and tweak it up to be superb. If you're a small to medium enterprise and you're with BT Business Broadband, give them a call because they can help you with that as well. Nothing will change if you're an existing BT customer. It all stays the same in terms of your contract billing and that kind of thing. What you get is Network Union is an extra layer of support and engineering help, if you like, along the way. And the other thing to say is if you're a consultant, because there's an awful lot of consultants listen to this show, they go into firms and they give advice or support. If you can, then pass on the details of the Network Union and Robert and the team up there, Robert Sturt, and get them to have a word with Robert if you possibly can. If you can pass the name of the person or the name of the corporation onto Robert as well, then that's great. But if you do, and you push the Network Union, then please, please, please just send a note to Robert at the Network Union. Use the email address that we've got and just say, I push your name forward and I hope you're, I hope you get something from it. Robert's been a fantastic supporter of the network and he's going to carry on doing it as well. So please, if you can just send something through that says that you've pushed the Network Union, and if you've done it in the past, even if you've done it in the past, please send a note to Robert now that just says, we've put your name forwards in the past. I hope you did. You got something from it, or maybe you did. But sponsors page, British Tech Network /sponsors, and there's an email thing there to contact Network Union. And, of course, UK2, we love them. They're great. They support us indefinitely. We are with them. We've been with them for 5 years. We'll probably be with them for till the bitter end when we're all stopped croaking and podcasting any longer. And they give us unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. Every show we've got is on the network is still on the servers. You can go back and listen to a historical amount. You can hear me predicting that the magazine app would fail 2 years ago, and lo and behold, that failed this week. And you can find all the other things that we got horrifically wrong, and you can even go back to Debbie McGee's Five of Spades, which is Will's crowning glory. Go to uk2.net, or better still, go through britishnetwork.com/sponsors and sign in from our page to even check your account, if you would, and tell the UK2 how much you love them on Twitter on @UK2 or @UK2Help, because they're wonderful. Right then. It's time for the cool things. Chaps, what have we got? Adam, start us off. I want to say as well that Adam wanted to be very considerate of his British fans because he wanted to recommend the Batman trilogy that's in iTunes at the moment for $20, and he found out it was £26.99 in the UK, so he decided not to recommend it because he didn't want his UK listeners to suffer, and I think that's applaudable, right, mate?
Yes, yeah. So I actually am going to pick the, because this is something I use and have used for a long time, and we were talking about the batteries earlier, but I am going to pick those AnyLoop batteries. Either Sanyo or Panasonic makes them. So it's a AA rechargeable battery, 2,000 milliamp hours, 2,100 recharge cycles. And in the US, you can get 12 of them for about $36.55 on Amazon. And in the UK, £24.78 in for 12 AAA or AA rather rechargeable Sanyo AnyLoop batteries, and they work great. And if you have an Apple charger, you can use them in that. You can also, of course, get a charger, and that's what I use in both my Apple keyboards, Apple trackpads, Apple mice. I use them pretty much anywhere I need AA batteries, and they perform really, really well. 2,000 milliamp hours is going to give you a long, long life between recharge cycles. And I bought them years ago, and I have yet to have replaced them. So the recharge cycles, I think originally the sort of version one versions were 1,000 recharge cycles. They now have it up over 2,000 recharge cycles, and they are awesome.
Are they the end?
Oh, some Windrider's also saying Sony makes them. Couple of different companies are manufacturing. I think they were originally developed by Sanyo maybe Panasonic, but they're basically the same batteries that, like I said, that Apple sells you with their little silver, you know, casing with the Apple logo on them. But you know, don't buy the ones from the Apple store, from Apple. Get these. They're exactly the same battery with the same performance and all the same abilities. They also have the ability to store a charge at 70% for like 5 years. So, you know, if you charge them up and just sort of leave them on the shelf, they're going to stay charged much better than some of the other kinds of rechargeables that are out there.
I've got the Eneloop ones, and I use them in my microphones for I mean, wireless mics. And I've set one of those up, and I've left it running all day. Two double A's in it, and it runs all day quite happily. They're better than Duracells once they're charged. Far better.
And they now have apparently pro. I didn't realize they have pro ones that are like 2,500 milliamp hours, 2,550 or something like that. So probably for more things like your digital cameras and those things that need more juice.
Yeah, excellent.
So, great batteries.
Thank you. John, what have you got for us?
I like the Eneloops too, but I have something else. Yeah, actually, I have both AA's and AAA's, but yeah, I use them in, well, I don't have much Apple that uses the batteries, but almost anything I have, remote controls, all sorts of electronics around my house. Yeah, I like
them. They apparently have little sleeves now too for C and D size batteries. So you just slip the Eneloops inside a little shell and now you can use them in your larger battery.
I may look into the sleeves for the others. But here's a product that I'd like to mention because I've seen it recently update on both of my machines here, I think in for Yosemite coming. But also, I think it's just a good product just to know what's happening in general with your network. Because there have been a couple of, there was one malware scare a little while ago, and there was the whole Bash thing, shell shock that came up here. But I want to mention this product, and I actually see it's a European product, I think. But it's called Little Snitch 3 by Objective Development. They're at www.obdev.at, which is over there somewhere.
Search for Little Snitch on
Austria,
Google.
I believe it's Austria. But, Little Snitch 3 does two things, but the one thing that to me is very important. So it has a network monitor, similar to other network monitors, but the thing that is the most important to me about this product, and this can prevent a lot of catastrophes, is that when your Mac is trying to connect to something, a firewall is something that prevents people from coming in and doing bad things to you from the outside. Little Snitch tells you when someone has tried to instruct your computer to go out to somewhere else and connect to something. And malware can do this. Legitimate software can do this too. You know, Software Update does it, and a lot of applications when they update, and it'll show you those attempts as well. And you can flag those and say, okay, permit this. But I've used it for quite a while, and I think it's some people will say that it's kind of annoying because it may.
I was going to ask you, how annoying do you find it? Because I managed it for about 4 minutes.
you have to, the thing is, if you set the rules up right, so for certain things you can say, okay, once you've seen this happen, allow it and don't get in my way. So you have to train it.
Training period is key. You got to stick with it and train it, I think, before it becomes, you know, non-annoying.
Yeah, once you train it and say, okay, always allow this connection or this type of connection because it's legitimate, then it gets out of your way. So I'll admit off the bat, it can be invasive, but to me, the benefit far outweighs the annoyance in that you can learn when someone is trying to tell your computer bad things.
That's good.
Or if you want to know what's happening behind the scenes. A lot of times when there's a software update or something, all of a sudden you'll see these new programs trying to go out, whether they be Apple or someone else's. And I just find it informative and helpful.
I've tried it. I've often wished that somebody, or if they had some sort of facility to have a security expert, or they themselves put together sort of a, hey, here's a known whitelist of like things that would commonly come up for most people that are benign and okay. And if you could just sort of preset that stuff, you know what I mean? Because there are a lot of system things like software update and certain applications that I would imagine, you know, once you've trained it, it's great. All those things are out of your way. But sort of that out of the box experience, I'm with you in there. I tried it once and it was just like, wow, this is popping up constantly, but I would imagine sticking with it. And I know a lot of security people really are big fans Little Snitch and use it religiously.
That's an understatement. The Windrider in the chat room says Little Snitch is an annoying piece of shit. So.
I'm with John on this one, though. You know, if you care about your privacy and you want to protect your stuff, this is a tool that you should have installed.
Once you got some malware that sends your credit card to someone, then you may change your tune.
No, I agree. I think, you know, Little Snitch is a fantastic concept. I hated it because of the fact it was so annoying, but the fact that it's got that ability to learn, I think, is good. And as you say, Adam, I think there's got to be some whitelist that ships with it that says these kind of things are all okay, you know, stop being so paranoid. But I suppose then, you know, if someone spoofs, then I suppose you could be back to square one, couldn't
you? Yeah, it'd have to come from a legitimate source and you have to validate it. So, and it's like anything in security, right? We talk about this all the time, is that you have to make your choice of security versus convenience, and you have to figure out where you fall on this. But, you know, with more and more, I think, you know, with more and more of sort of these hacks and things like that, this kind of software is becoming more and more important for people to have.
Yeah. Good one. Thank you, John. Chuck, what have you got for us, sir?
I've got my favorite Bluetooth speaker. This is, I'm sorry, Will, I'm about to say the word that you seem to hate so much, the Logitech UE Mobile Boombox. It can be had for about $75 on Amazon. I'm sorry, I don't have it in pounds. It's for $75, you're going to match just about anything that you get for some of the other name brands that everybody knows for $200 or better. It's more than enough to fill a room. Now, don't misunderstand. You're not going to be able to, you know, crunch out things in the backyard and overpower a lot of conversations. But I keep this in my backpack all the time when it's not in use here. In fact, when I was looking around for something to pick today, it's like, well, this just presented itself because I was using it just this morning. It is a speakerphone as well as a Bluetooth speaker. The people on the other end report that it's pretty good, you know, certainly not as bad as a lot of things, not as good as some, but somewhere in the middle. The battery life is outstanding. In fact, I can't even tell you the last time I charged this, and I use it probably every day for at least a couple hours. So it's not like it requires a lot of maintenance. It's got a metal grill, rubberized case so that it doesn't vibrate when you sit it on a hard surface. It is not waterproof. It is water resistant, so you don't want to throw it in the pool with you, but maybe if you want to put it on a table beside the pool, you'll be fine. For the money, you're just not going to beat it. The size, you know, they make a larger version that sounds a little better, has a little more power, but it also is tougher to carry around. So you're just not going to beat this for size, convenience, and definitely for the price. One other thing I want to make sure I say, two of them, you can pair two of them and have a stereo pair. So for $150, you've got a great stereo setup wherever you want to go.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Good pick. Those little speakers are excellent. I had one of the monster ones, the Clarity, and they were excellent. Really, really good. Greeny, what do you have for us, sir?
Well, two things. Today, I've been banging on about design and form over function. Also, I'd like to apologize to Adam for saying, which way would you go? Would you become a male prostitute or become a Windows user? Which is possibly a little bit extreme.
It is a little.
Aren't those the same thing?
Oh, no, steady on.
Oh, I feel better now. That's a good thing. So the two choices I have are, number one, if you are an iPad or an iPhone user, or, you know, I'm sure you've been, like we've all been, sort of, we've got this beautiful device in our hands, it's gloriously designed, but we want to protect it from scratches and if we drop it accidentally and stuff like that. We've looked at Amazon and we've tried to find a nice leather case, but, you know, like 80% of the cases aren't really leather, even though they sort of say they are, but they're not. Like, you know, right when you look at the little lettering, it says faux leather. Not that that should be important, of course, especially if you're like a vegan or something, especially in that instance. So you wouldn't want to get your iPhone or case and cook it in ages. But in case you do want to do that and you're looking for the proper leather case, I cannot recommend more highly than a company called Labato, which is spelled labato.com. That's labato.com. They sell their cases on Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. The leather is made, or it's produced, I should say, in Australia, and it's quite cheap. So I've got a few of these cases, one for my iPad, one for my Sony Xperia Z1, and one for my iPhone, and absolutely... So let's take, for example, the iPhone 5 case. It only costs like £9, and it's the most beautiful leather you've ever seen. Proper, gloriously made, really classy, really lovely. So totally recommend Labato, L-A-B-A-T-O .com.
Excellent.
So that's my first one. And so that's on, like, you know, for £9 for a beautiful case. If you're ever in the Apple shop or you go in one of those dodgy stores in the middle of a shopping mall, then you'll think, oh, I'll just buy that case. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just wait that extra day. Go on to Amazon and get it there. The second one, now I haven't got the money to buy this, but I am saving my pennies for it. And you and I would appreciate your feedback on this.
Go on.
Is the Leica M monochrome rangefinder camera.
Save your money.
But it's a thing of beauty. Look at the look at it. It's glorious.
Save your money, dude.
Why? Why should I save my money?
Because most of Leica is actually made by Panasonic anyway, and there's better cameras out there for the same money, and there's at least as good a camera out there for less money.
Yeah, but this is the Leica, though, isn't it? It's a Leica, isn't it? I mean, it's and also Victim. It's Leica. It's an M system, and it only takes black and white photos. Even if you want to take color photos, you can't. It only takes black and white.
Greedy, you've got sucker written all over you.
I have not. Look at it. I mean, look. Okay, well, listen.
You're taking what? Adam, and you're asking Adam if you'd rather be a male prostitute or a Windows user, and then you're talking about buying a vastly overpriced camera that only takes black and white images for the badge. You're already taking it up the backside, mate, from what you've just said.
Well, no, that's your opinion. It's because you're obsessed with this Japanese rubbish, aren't you? I mean, look at this Leica thing of beauty. It comes with the leather case and everything. It's handmade.
I know six people who've owned a Leica, and five of them have sold it because it wasn't worth it.
I got to say, Chuck actually turned me on to Lumix. I would seriously consider a Lumix, which has the Leica optics.
Get Lumix and get yourself a copy of Silver FX Pro, and you're good to go.
I can't do that. I couldn't do it. It has to be the real deal. I'm not going to buy
it. It is the real deal. Panasonic Lumix is a Leica.
Knock off.
Oh, Greeny. Oh, dear. God, Greeny, no.
What?
Well, fool and his money are easily parted. There we go. There's never been a truer statement.
Well, have a look at the history of the thing and the specs, because I don't think you have.
It was built last week, dude. How much history do I need?
Because all of the great photos ever, that's I will sort of wool over that last comment a little bit, have been taken using a Leica. The Leica rangefinder is the iconic camera for photojournalists, and this one in particular, I think it's got I can't remember the specs and stuff.
I said a year ago, I'll buy a Leica camera when all the product shots are taken with Leica cameras, and they haven't started doing that until this year.
Yeah, because they're not product shots. It's all about blooming photojournalism, isn't it? It's been there with your Leica, your rangefinder. None of this dodgy old, who's got the biggest feckin' lens, this sort of macho... sort of almost penis envy, who's got the biggest lensy type stuff. The Leica is your sort of proper quality, iconic, just like an Apple product. And it's all about getting that sort of artistry into the shot. Except when you're taking makeup shots.
I hope you and your Leica are extremely happy, Will.
You wait.
And wait till you've got rid of it after 6 months and you say it wasn't worth it, Ewan, and you're a grand out of pocket.
It's only £6,200.
Yeah, I know, but you'll only sell it for about £4,500.
So, well, that's still not bad. And it's made of leather.
A Leica devalues faster than a car, dude.
Anyway. Well, it's got a nice case as well.
Best of luck, mate. You £6,000 on a film, on a camera that only takes black and white stills. Superb. I think that's a cracking choice. My recommendation of the week by a long way.
Well, anyway, I don't care.
Michael,
I don't care.
Is to cuss at Adam because last week I showed you my iographer steering wheel thing that's actually for taking pictures, but is actually a really cool steering wheel for the iPad. And Adam said that'd be really good with Asphalt 8. Yeah, you're right. You're right, it is. I've wasted no end of time this week playing bloody Asphalt 8. And I've got to say, I'm not into the freemium models. I think it's horrific that some of the prices they charge. And Asphalt 8 is not free of that. It does charge some stupid money.
Yes.
But I've played it for ages and I haven't spent a penny yet. And I always slagged off Real Racing 3 and I've played that for ages and I still haven't spent a penny yet. So.
And Asphalt 8 is written for metal, right?
It's written for what?
Metal.
What's that?
That's Apple's new, where they can write directly to the processor and get better performance, better graphics out of their 3D games.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful and it's very playable. And it's, if you like the arcade type stuff, it's not a real racing game in that sense because there's jumps and there's nitro and all that kind of stuff. But I've had a whale of a time playing it. That and Real Racing 3 have been absolutely excellent this week and I haven't spent a penny. So, kudos to them. They've given a very playable game, free of charge. I don't mind spending money. I'd gladly pay. How much would you pay for Asphalt 8 if it was everything in, all included? I'd pay...
$20?
Yeah, I was going to say I'd put 10 towards that quite comfortably. Maybe leaving a little more, 15 quid. But if it was $14.99, I'd be sold right now. But it's $69.99 for the top upgrade. You can stick that up your backside. I'm not going to do that. That's taking the mic. But there you go, Asphalt 8, that's my cool thing. And I loved it. Very good fun, very good fun. And I think it would be wicked on the iPhone 6 Plus on the train. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
As always, you can find me over at maccast.com, also Maccast on iTunes. Do the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet every week. We'll be recording that actually later this afternoon. So that's theiosshow.com. Follow me on Twitter at MacCast.
Bronwyn only wants to pay a dollar for Asphalt 8. Tut, tut. Trotsky says that
he's part of the problem, not the solution.
Yeah. Trotsky says that Leica's pretentious nonsense. And Will Windrider says, you silly, twisted boy, Will.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it does.
Why?
No, we haven't got time. They've got a call in 10 minutes. Mr. Braun, where the hell are you?
I'm over here across the pond, but want to find me on Twitter. I am John F. Braun. I also do the Mac Geek Gab on Twitter. That is Mac Geek Gab. Or you could go to MacGeekGab.com.
Excellent, mate. Mr. Chuck Joyner, where are you, sir?
You can find me all the time at Mac Voices at MacVoices.com and on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner.
1 month closer to Macworld.
Yes.
I haven't booked my ticket yet, but I'm going to this week, I think. And last but by no means least, it's Greeny Boy.
Hello, chap. You can find me, if you want to follow my random ramblings, it's my Twitter is... British Mac, and you can find me at BritishMac.com. And Sunday,
haven't you got an episode out soon?
Yep, I've recorded half of it. I just need to update the news because the news is probably slightly out of date now.
No kidding.
I can give you some advice there. When you record the news, then put the show out.
that's a very innovative way of looking at it, Adam. You know when you steal Adam's Circus Pony show notes, mate? You know you should use them that week, right?
Well, I to be fair, I used to rip off Adam's show notes because they're very good. But I've stopped doing that now. I sort of
is that why the
taking
quality's
less
gone
interest
down?
In the news.
Is that why the quality's gone down, Will?
Probably, yes. Yeah, because Adam just... fantastic show notes.
You guys really need to remove the ducking on your Sky, the lot of you. You need to go into your XML file and take ducking out because you're all talking over each other.
Into what?
Ducking. If you go into the XML file, there's the I can't remember. We've got a wiki that shows you how to do it.
Oh, now you're telling me. Send me the instructions.
I'll send you the instructions, but it gets rid of the auto ducking.
Thank God.
It means you can all talk at once, but you'll all hear each other. Greeny, where the bloody hell are you? That's the end of it. British Mac. At British Mac.
Yeah, BritishMac.com.
I don't know how to use his website, though, just FYI.
No, neither does Greeny. Jesus.
What do you mean? What's wrong with it?
The UI is just, it's great. Great photo of you.
Unless you're a 1950s spiv, you don't know how to use his webpage.
It's, what do you explore it? That's the key to it. It's not obvious. You hover your mouse around and you explore it. There's lots and lots of stuff in there. Gigabytes of stuff.
You go to Will's website, you hover around and wait for the finger. That's the key.
You wait for Will to give you the finger.
Wait for Will to give you the finger.
You know where to click.
But thing with your site, it's all like so obvious, you know, click here for the show notes. I mean, Christ, I mean, who wants that? We want a bit of mystery in our lives. Mystery. That's where you go wrong, Adam.
Windrider says that his cool thing is Carl Swagger on the news show. And I've got to second that. He's doing a fantastic job at that. We've had, we were number one this week. He should have been here today, but he's had to go and do some work. But we were the number one technology podcast in the UK on Thursday. So,
well done, Carl. Congrats. Well done, that's Carl. Awesome.
Good job.
Bizarre. So fantastic job. Listen to the news show. You'll love it. It's brilliant. 5 minutes, all the tech news straight away with Kyle's humour. We'll be back again next week. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Have a good weekend. See you soon. Pocket Show Monday, don't forget.